Do not skip this ad. I know it's really easy to skip them. This is one you do not want to skip. So this is Kristen from the podcast, also from KristenandChill.com, also known as The Banter Coach. And I am offering the most insane, almost stupidly cheap deal for my banter bundle. My banter bundle has helped hundreds and hundreds of men get dates when they've never gotten dates in the past, get girlfriends when they've never gotten girlfriends in the past, and even gotten some engagements and 2 confirmed weddings. So if you want to be part of this special club, take advantage of what I'm about to offer you. I usually charge $650 for the banter bundle, which is 3 super intense sessions where we get your skills where they need to be so that you can charm more than just your socks off. And today I am cutting that price from $650 to $350. And just so you know the value, there is literally no one else in the world offering this kind of specialized coaching. So take advantage of my kind heart and generosity and get your skills to where they need to be so you can start getting the ladies. Go to KristenandChill.com, find the banter tab, click on the banter bundle, and at checkout, use the promo code BANTERONTHECHEAP. I'm only doing this offer for August and September, so get it in now. That's what she said. Don't get yourself on a waiting list. Do it now. Again, that's KristenandChill.com, and I will see you there.
Want to know the hidden meaning behind what women say and do? Then check out The Chictionary. It's the Wing Girl Method's manual that gives you a full rundown of all the things women say that confuse men, written in dictionary format. Go get a copy of The Chictionary by going to winggirlmethod.com/chick. That's winggirlmethod.com/chick.
Welcome to the Ask Women podcast. We get real advice straight from the source. I'm Kristen Carney, comedian and human here, of course, with Marnie Kinrish, best-selling author, etc. And we have our voice of man with us today. He's a comedian, very funny guy, Carl DiGregorio.
Hey, hey.
Well, I wanted to talk about, for the topic for today, the man's playbook. You know, we don't have that music anymore, but like, are you horny to win? We're going to talk about the differences between men and women. Because there are lots of differences, but I think a lot of guys don't understand the differences. And I think that, you know, what we do, what the Wing Girl Method does, which is my company, we try to inform men on what those differences are. Because if you don't know the differences and you don't understand who you're trying to sleep with, date, whatever, it makes it even more challenging for you because you're acting in a way that you would think would work or what you would respond to as opposed to actually working with the people that you're trying to get and getting a better understanding. So I want to talk to you guys, like, what do you think are the biggest differences between men?
Well, I mean, if you could take a picture right now of Carl versus us, I think it'd be pretty obvious.
Just size of cranium.
Size.
And, yeah, schnozzle.
Yeah. Hair along the facial line.
Well, one of the biggest differences that you've talked about a couple of times is the fact that men and women actually see colors differently. I forget what the exact quote was or what the number
it's
was.
It's something but. Like, I've said this so many times, so people who listen to all the episodes are probably like, okay, Kristen, we get it. Like,
shut up.
Get another piece of information.
It's your go-to factoid.
It's my only factoid. Women see like 7 colors of red. Men see like 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what does that mean?
Shades of red. It means women are much more detail-oriented.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll give you a little bit of background, and it's science-y stuff, so I'm going to totally screw this up. But this is like roughly my understanding of like the biology and the evolution, evolutionary reasoning behind these differences. So in the past, men were cavemen, right? They needed to be single-focused. They went out, they hunted. They didn't need to see everything that's around them. Their goal was to provide food and shelter and take care of their family. For women, it was different. They were, you know, back at home are back in the cave, and they were taking care of the children and other women, and their job was to protect the den or the cave that they had. And for them, they had to really learn to be able to identify subtleties because of this. So if somebody were to come up to their den or cave or whatever, they would have to learn to see little nuances in that person's
like
face,
or
their body.
And things
exactly.
Like that.
Just to tell whether or not they were going to be harmful or they were going to be helpful or whatever. So from that, you know, we still carry on that same biology and that same evolutionary, I don't even know what the word is, but
anyway, right.
We still are built that way. That's the way that we work. So men are single focused. It's the reason that when a man looks in the fridge and he says, where's the ketchup? If it's hidden behind the mustard, he can't see the ketchup.
It's gone.
Right. But for
Did you eat all the ketchup?
Yes, I ate an entire bottle of ketchup.
It was a 32 ounce, man.
Yeah. I'm like, just move the milk to the left and you'll see it.
There are like
right
40
there.
Shades of red in ketchup. Yes, I ate some of it.
So for women, one of the biggest differences between men and women is just the fact that women are extremely subtle in their actions, in their words. That's why for men, it's really difficult for them to understand what's being said and what's being said underneath the words that they're saying.
Sure.
So like Kristen and I, we could have a full conversation without saying words, basically making fun of you in some way. And you would never notice that we're doing anything.
Are you doing it right now?
Yes, absolutely.
This is not cool.
I totally hear you, Kristen. but I found like a couple of interesting little images, GIFs that I found online. It's an image of female dictionary and male dictionary. So I'm going to read them to you. Okay. So when a woman says nothing, forget it. Carl, what do you think that means?
Oh, was it a dictionary?
No, it's not. But I'm just going to... Oh, this is somebody else's.
Oh, okay.
Right. So, yeah, when a woman says nothing, forget it.
You're screwed. You're fucked. You got to have a huge conversation. This is going to be a drag.
Mm-hmm. And what does it mean when a man says it?
Stop talking. We're done.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay, female dictionary. Nothing, forget it. Female is you better figure out what you did wrong. Male is just quit talking about it.
Yep.
That's funny. Okay. Next one. Are you tired from the female dictionary?
I think she's, it's a needy moment and she wants you to connect with her.
Okay. And then what does it mean for man?
Is this going to lead to sex immediately? And are we going to do it basically?
Okay. This one says, I agree with that. But this one says for women, it says, please don't go to sleep. I love talking to you.
Oh,
so for men, it says genuinely curious as to whether or not you are sleeping. Okay. I'm okay from a woman.
Wait, I'm sorry, before I go to that one, I would say for the tired one, like, are you tired? That one for me would be like, are you in a bad mood? Like, what's your problem?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I see that.
Yeah, I would say it for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm okay.
I'm not okay. I'm totally not okay.
And from a man?
I'm okay.
For the woman, it says, hold me tight, I need a shoulder to cry on. For a man, it says, there's seriously not a damn thing wrong with me.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm cold from a woman.
They're always cold, so that's a hard one to figure out. I think that's literal. Is that possible?
I'm cold. Give me your jacket.
Oh, okay.
Look at this. Yeah, get a blanket and cuddle with me. That's I'm cold.
Like, take care of me.
Yeah.
Give
okay.
me warm.
All right. So that's me being insensitive.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I'm cold from a man. I'm pretty cold. I should probably get a blanket or some shit.
Yeah.
Leave me alone from a woman.
Wow.
Don't leave me alone.
Yeah, right. We need to talk about this.
Right.
Yeah.
Please don't go. That's what it says. Leave me alone from a man.
Like, leave me. Like, if you could vaporize that.
Yeah, so get out of your fucking face.
You vape women.
I love you.
From a woman is, I love you and say it back, like, almost right at the end of the sentence. Like, overlap my sentence.
So good. But it's, okay, so this one said, tell me you do more.
Okay.
And I love you from a man is I love you just that. I don't expect a stupid fucking response.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting. Okay.
Well, there's some guys who are needy.
Correct.
Who would want the response.
Yeah. Wow,
who are insecure. Funny. There are insecure dudes.
No way. Mm-hmm.
I've said thank you when a girl said I love you once.
Really?
It was a long time ago.
And then you never saw her again, obviously.
Yeah, we worked it out for a little bit, but it didn't.
Did she say you're welcome?
Yeah.
Is she polite? I mean, you might learn to love her.
Yes.
Exactly. I'm like, oh, you handled that well.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, when my husband said I love you to me for the first time, it made me super uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. No, really?
I remember, I said it into, I was like, oh, let me too. Like, I went into it took me at least 3 days to get comfortable with saying it. I felt it. I had felt it for a very long time. But like in my family, we don't really say,
okay,
I love you. That was very, we're starting to now and it still feels really uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah,
but I
yeah.
now say it to like a lot of other people because I'm very comfortable because my husband has introduced me to the I love you.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it was very weird for me.
Wow.
I didn't say thank you.
But that's like nature versus nurture. That's not a, that's like a, maybe a female male cross wire thing then when you said it
maybe
more readily than you were ready for it. Wouldn't that's a,
I thought, well, I was ready for it. I definitely didn't want to say it first,
right,
but
right,
it just,
right.
the words to come out of my mouth were really foreign for me and uncomfortable. And now I say it.
I'm
like
stingy with those words. It's terrible.
My family, we say it all the time.
Yeah. We do.
But that, but it's hard for me to say it to other people outside of my family.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Like, it was like to my boyfriend, we've been together for 6 years and I can say I love you to my mom, dad, sister, brother, like 10 times a day. Like, love you.
Uh-huh.
You have a hard time?
But then with my boyfriend, it's like, we'll just say like mush or something, like, because it's like an inside thing.
Right. It's more comfortable for you.
Yeah.
Okay, I get that.
It's weird.
All right. I had another.
I have intimacy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, we all know that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have another GIF, right,
mm-hmm.
that I found, or a PNG. PNG.
We don't want to say GIF because then we're promoting peanut butters.
Right, exactly. No, but this is like a GIF file or a JPEG.
Mm-hmm.
JPEG. Let's call it that. See, I do know technical stuff, which might be ancient, but still. Okay, it's comparing men and women. You think, she feels. You approach and court, she sits back and accepts. You base decisions on fact and experiences, she bases decisions on emotion and expectation. You say you like love her, she tests to see if you like love her. You state your needs, she makes you figure out her needs. You have to lead, she gets to follow.
Feeling really sex. Glad I'm not a guy right now.
Mm-hmm.
She withholds sex. You think sex is primarily physical. She thinks sex is primarily emotional. You don't read minds. She thinks she does.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about these different? Some of them are a little skewed from a male point of view.
They're definitely those. I definitely completely think are right on.
Yeah.
The definition ones I think are mostly right on, but I do think that there's crossover with those where
for sure.
the women can, you know, there are girls who aren't always like, yeah, I need the blanket. Get me a blanket. Like, oh, guys can be needy like that.
Yeah, I
know
so too.
There's a lot of parts in my relationship where I'm very needy, but I know that there's a lot of parts where my boyfriend's really needy.
I think deeper into the relationship,
yeah.
depending on what's going on between the two of you, if like for some reason you're not filling each other's love buckets, a little callback to five love languages. But
I threw up into a love bucket.
Exactly. Oh, there we go.
But if you're not doing those things for your partner and you start to build tension and anxiety and really do start to doubt whether the other person appreciates you, respects you, and loves you, insecurity for both sexes can definitely start to exist. So for sure, those phrases that were said could be for both men and for women.
Yeah.
But I think generally,
oh yeah, they're generally pretty
correct.
Yeah, they exist for a reason.
They're frustrating for the male, it seems.
For sure.
Everything you read off just made me uncomfortable and I got quiet. And
yeah.
Stuff.
Well, which one made you the most uncomfortable?
The mind reading and the expectation freaks. You know,
for
that
sure.
doesn't freak me out. It's just things are getting a little more complicated as gender roles kind of start to, you know, we're all going to be wearing jumpsuits and having like gender neutral
for sure.
Outfits
I already
and
wear
stuff.
A jumpsuit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I, you know, so it's like if you're a sensitive dude and you want to meet, you know, if you think culture's changing, so then some of this stuff should disappear and it doesn't because maybe we are, you know, different. And
yeah.
so we should be okay with that.
Yeah. We should.
It doesn't mean unequal. It just means different, right?
Natural.
But
that's
it's
natural.
Just hard for, you know, like,
you know,
sensitive dudes.
You know what's interesting to me is that people, this is a stereotype that I'm creating right now or sensing
yeah,
right now or something like
go
that.
Go for it.
People who would be into really like natural food, not you, because I know Marnie's, but like people who'd be very vegan and natural
right.
would be the first people to want to have gender neutral clothing, which seems like hypocrisy because it's like, well, you want what's natural. What's natural isn't a woman being a man and a man being a woman,
mm-hmm.
but yet that's what you want in your food. You know, it's there. I see so many consistencies when it comes to this, like, everything be even
right.
equal bullshit.
Or like a girly
right.
girl can't be feminist or you know,
yeah.
something like that.
I mean, a stripper being like a super feminist, I think is hilarious. You know, there's
yeah.
just when there's inconsistencies. But what I was going to say real quick about the gender neutral stuff is there's actually a store, a big department store in England or London or something, they're going to all gender neutral.
I just read that as well. Yeah. It wasn't Harrods. It was something else.
It was something.
Do you look like Star Trek Next Generation? Is that what the stuff looks like? I'm just curious.
I have no idea. I don't know what would be in there. Would it be like one rack? Like, is it a whole section? I have absolutely no idea.
I would picture it to skew male.
I'm gigantic,
because I can't see dudes wearing like chick.
Well, maybe it's maybe one section that has all of the same things, but just saying, like, you know, have a free-for-all. Like, you want to wear a dress? Wear a dress. You want to wear...
Oh, that's a good point.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe it's like one section. There's not men's and women's sections.
Right, because I wonder what, like a gender-neutral line would look like. You're right. I think it would just be more masculine. Right, exactly. Like. Exactly. So I want to know, from your point of view, like, why does you base decisions on fact and experience versus she bases decisions on emotion and expectation? Why does that cause you stress or frustration?
It's because, you know, I'm trying to find an example like on the street, but like, you know, a lot of times, let's just say like in a...
I think about your own relationship.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can only think of one story on the fly here, but like we were walking home one night and there was a dude who was on the street. It was there was maybe a chance for some physical, like a fight to occur
with you and the
team? Maybe if we could, but my thing was just, let's just keep walking, don't engage.
He's like a bad dude.
Yeah, okay. Don't engage, let's just keep moving.
Yeah,
don't
it's like Ghost,
right?
And Patrick Swayze,
you know, and sometimes you don't. Yeah, is that what happens in there? I just remember the clay killed. Oh, he gets killed by a guy named Carl, by the way.
Yes, Carl. Yes.
It's always Carl. Carl's the worst name in movies. But like I basically just said, maybe her instinct or her feeling said, "Oh, this is okay. I can talk to this guy." And I'm like, "You can't talk to this guy because then I gotta," it wound up escalating because, you know, her feeling in the moment was, "Well, now he's being rude." And I'm like, "Okay, he can be rude all he wants. We need to get at this without me having to, you know, break my hand on his face or get beaten up in front of you, which would be not the ideal, you know, thing." But, you know, so, and then we had a big, you know, the next day she woke up and said, "You were right," which is, you know, probably historical and
right.
Male-female relationships. But, yeah, and I don't know if I'm addressing that question, but I'm just saying I knew from maybe fact and from the fact that a man has to eventually get to the point where he's got to defend, that she didn't understand that I was going to have to deal with this physically and that she maybe was going to try to mediate it on the street, you know, so.
Right, that was she was more having emotions about the situation, and you were being like, "Here's a logical plan."
And
that's where a lot of the differences come in.
So how would you explain to the guys that are listening, if they were in that same situation, how to bridge that gap?
I mean, preparation. That's another thing. Maybe that's a man thing, but like just sort of, like having, you know, I don't know why you'd need to know, you know, how to avoid conflict on the street, but maybe don't walk home and use Uber would be a good advice instead of like walking home from a dive bar in a bad part of town. But I don't know. Just I don't know if you can ever get a woman's. Can anybody get through to anybody? You know, I don't know.
Well, okay, so it's interesting. So, like, I don't think that in the moment there could have been anything done because you definitely both have different experiences that had you see that situation in a different way. But I like that she did say that to you the next day.
Yeah.
Like, you were right. But you could have a conversation about, like, where you were coming from, like, how you understood that something could potentially happen, like sharing information. I think a lot of men forget to do that sometimes, and they either just respond and sometimes you don't have time to sit down and say, like, "Listen, this is what I think about the situation." But I think post-situation, you can definitely have a conversation about expectations and about, like, where you're coming from, so that for her, when she does have a future emotion or expectation, she can go back to the conversation that you've had and understand where you're coming from.
Right.
It's just like, again, you can't do it in the moment or capture it in the moment, but then maybe, you know, you'll both learn something for either your next relationship or for the next time that something like that happens.
That's interesting. She did, since, you know, with the joke now, "Do not engage," I always say that, "Don't engage, don't engage. And she's like, "Okay, I get it."
I don't want to belabor the story, but I'm kind of confused on what was going on. I'm just curious. So you were walking home and the guy was walking toward you and you just felt this.
No. It's not really a race issue, but my girl's black. And so it was maybe he was not digging that I was a white guy on her arm. And, you know, we all want to be, fight the good fight and not,
it wasn't time to like, to do like a
And yeah, and I could
like
just tell,
on a PSA.
He was being cool. Like, he was like, "What's up, y'all?" And I was, you know, but it was pointed, and we needed to get past. Yeah. We needed to round the corner, and then if we lingered a little too long, and then he escalated, and then I was like, "Ah, here we go."
Yeah. Okay.
That's kind of the that was how that went.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So what else would you say from both of your relationships have you learned about? Dealing with the opposite sex. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it either.
For me, and this is very specific, which is kind of ironic because I'm talking about detail right now. I am very detail oriented. In my living space, I like things to be exactly where they should be. I don't like crumbs on the counter. I don't like splotches on the wall. And for me, it's so difficult because my boyfriend doesn't see those things. He doesn't see the crumbs, and he doesn't see the pillow askewed up toward the wrong direction. And I do. So it's like, that's been a really hard thing to just communicate simply, like, it should look like this, but he doesn't see it. So, I mean, for me, it's been like an ongoing battle.
Well, actually, I can ask you, Carl, are you like a messy person?
I'm a neat freak, but not a clean freak. So I have different standards of what I think, like, my girl will Swiffer hourly if she could.
Send her over to my house.
Yeah.
But I also can tell that she won't put, my stapler back in the right place, and I'll freak out about that. But it's probably OCD more than neat freak.
Well, I want...
I could relate to you, but I mean, I might not. I could care less if there's a cheese doodle under the couch, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
So what have you learned from your relationship? Like, how to deal with these differences?
Because if there's a cheese doodle.
Yeah, I'm like, there you go. Provisions.
Really, when you start living with people in close quarters, when you are deeper into a relationship, and it's, you start to become tense. You start to really hold it against the other person. And it's difficult. Because he's not doing something to hurt you on purpose, right? And you're not being the way you are, which is the same way as me, to be annoying. You just want everything in order. Mm-hmm. So, Carl, let me ask you, like, what's the solution there for the
tough one? Because how do you want the solution to be like, don't be like that, right? Like, that's both sides are probably saying that. But,
how do you not see this? How do you not see this giant crumb of bread, almost the size of a piece of toast that you left on the counter?
Right.
How do you not, I mean, this is like me getting up. You haven't listened to this.
Yeah.
How do you not see that you opened a package of emergency and then used
it's
it
everywhere.
And then left it on the counter and there's powder spray everywhere? How do you not see that?
Yeah, like, that's to a tough one. That's a basic not.
Well, if you did something, how
do you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
I guess calmly, but then that calm tone and we're having a conversation tone just sends me batty.
Yeah, because the nicer I try to be, I'm like, hey, I'm literally not trying to be an asshole.
Yeah.
Just there's, you know.
You sound like a girl serial.
Yeah, and then
you're like, here we go.
And then he starts rolling his eyes and then I get pissed. I'm like, why can't I just say anything? You know, so there is that.
Right.
I haven't figured out the answer. Unfortunately,
how would you address the situation, or what would be like the mature version of Carl?
I think you got to pick your battles, and
yes, that's what I've been doing.
That's kind of what it is, and also I have to realize that I can't expect, I don't think it's photographic, but I do. Like, I got robbed once in my apartment, and my first question was, you know, did you borrow a watch? And like, I don't know why she'd borrow a watch, but because it wasn't where it was. And I just took a scan of the room. I'm like, did you borrow $270 cash?
Right, exactly.
And she's like, no. And then I'm like, okay, I got, and then I walked through the apartment and I'd been robbed and all I had to do was scan the room and I didn't have to ruffle through anything. So I do know where things are. So how would I nobody can be like a freak like me. So I guess I got to ease up, but you got to make sure that, you know, if it's really bugging you, you have to say something and really cool, like, I'll call you right back, that kind of thing. We had the big conversation where I said, you know, you say that and then it's I think I'm literally not going anywhere till you call me back and it could be 2 hours.
Right.
And I've blown time.
Right.
And so you didn't mean I'll call you right back. So, and she's like, oh, okay. Well, I was being, you know, anecdotal or not literal. And I was like, oh, okay. So we got through that. And now it's like, you know, we kind of have to be careful with our words sometimes.
Right. Well, I brought up this situation because it actually ties into, you know, that difference that I talked about. You base decisions on fashion experience and she bases decisions on emotion and expectation, which is a very big difference. And that can lead to separation between two people, which I see happen a lot and a lot of Lonnie sort of like, you're just like, fine, I've said this 5 different times and you haven't done anything about it. It's going to annoy me, eat away at me. It's going to make me not want to have sex with you. And it's going to live there forever, mm-hmm. but I'm going to pretend to be okay with it for now, which happens to a lot of couples.
And at least the ultimate, the breakup, essentially?
It isn't not necessarily a breakup, but right. it's just like, it's just distance. I think that a lot of couples, you know, suffer from distance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for anybody who's listening who is single or in a relationship right now, I think that, you know, these things may seem like petty little things, but they ultimately end up killing a relationship.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, like... turning it sour and then, you know, you end up... Anyway, I'm not going to go down a whole tangent. But that's a big difference between men and women. And that's where I want to end that note on. But I think they were like really interesting little differences. But on the second half of the show, we have Goldie on our show, who's been on our show before. She is a stylist. She lives in New York, but she travels all over the world styling men specifically. Yeah. She works with women too. But she's worked on MTV.
She had a field day with
me. Oh, yeah.
She used to work for Diane von Furstenberg. I don't know.
Yeah,
designer. But she's amazing. And so she's going to talk to us about style and how to make your inside match with your outside so that women are more attracted to you. And that's what we're talking about on the second half of the show.
Scarves. I'm thinking scarves.
Lots of scarves.
Yeah.
Can't even see your face.
Perfect. We're going to have her on the second half of the show. So stay tuned.
Ti piace il mio podcast? What did you guys think? Do I sound like I'm actually Italian? I am actually Italian, but obviously not a real Italian. And so I'm trying to learn Italian so that I can talk to my relatives that are from Sicily. And I'm using Babbel to do it. If you guys are looking to learn a new language, Babbel is the way in. Did you know the second best way to learn a language would be through something like Babbel? The first is to actually be with the Italians, but this is your second best way. 1 in 5 Americans actually have learned a new language on their bucket list. So if that's you, check it off the list this summer with Babbel. We have a pretty great special for you for a limited time. We have a deal for our listeners to get you started right now. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/askwomen. Get 55% off at babbel.com/askwomen. That's spelled BABBEL.com/askwomen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
If you listen to the Ask Women podcast, then you are already miles and miles and miles ahead of other men when it comes to attracting and getting the girls you want. But I must confess, there's one missing piece in the puzzle, and that's flirting, or the ability to ignite sexual chemistry with any girl you meet in a matter of minutes. Most guys suck at flirting. They can't flirt their way out of a paper bag. But as your personal wing girl, I can't let you be one of those guys. That's why I want to show you the most effective step-by-step formulaic approach to flirting with any girl you like. This formulaic approach has been tested on thousands of girls and has been proven to work like magic. Yes, magic. You just apply the formula and see results instantly, and it's that powerful. To find out everything about this flirting formula, all you have to do is go to winggirlmethod.com/flirty. I've made a special video for you where I reveal what this formula is all about. Go to winggirlmethod/flirty, and you'll find out all about it.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. We've got Goldie on the line. She's gonna tell us about awesome fashion things. So Marnie, talk to Goldie, because I don't really know where to start.
Well, Goldie's awesome, but Goldie's on the phone with us right now, and she actually is a stylist, and she also works for my company as a stylist, and she's fantastic. And I've seen all of the transformations that she's done with guys that come on my boot camps, mm-hmm. or guys that she's worked with independently, and they're just like phenomenal. Like literally, it would be a guy like who looks like who's the founder of Microsoft? What's his name? Bill Gates, right? Bill Gates, and then you see him after, He's worked with
more like Bill Mates.
Right, exactly. And it's like, it literally is like an Abercrombie model. Like,
I hate myself, by the way.
Me too.
That's fantastic.
But like amazing, amazing what she can pull out from these guys. And what she does, she doesn't like just dress every single guy the same.
Right.
She actually like finds out who they are, what they're passionate about, like what they like to do, and then just enhances their style. And for some people, you know, who dress like they're 14 years old, she'll say like, no more of this.
We're going to
bring you up and like, you know, make you an adult. But Goldie is on the phone with us and she's going to talk to us today about style. So, hey, Goldie.
Hi there. Thanks for that intro, Marnie.
Oh, you're welcome. So tell us about style and why it's important for men to have style, own their style, and improve their style.
Well, style is just a whole other form of entertainment is what I like to tell my clients. It's a whole new realm that anyone is welcome to enter, because I truly believe that everyone should look their best, put their best foot forward, because we're all familiar with that saying, you only have one chance to make a first impression, so you might as well make a good one. And I truly believe that fashion can be just another expression of who you are on the inside and also be your calling card, whether you're trying to attract more women in your life, more business, more friends, whatever it may be. When you match up your style with who you are, the possibilities are endless.
Okay, well, I have a question. So I'm sure some people are listening and saying like, screw that. If a woman doesn't like me because I wear like t-shirts that say like, I love canned, I don't even know.
Certified sex instructor.
Right. Like, sure. Like if she can't like me,
you wear that shirt.
Like, screw her. So what do you think about that?
Well, I just don't think that that's being realistic. While fashion definitely does not define the man, it definitely packages him up nicely. So that helps you have a leg up on the competition in the room and all the other guys on the dating website, because if they're doing it, you might as well keep up with Jones and make sure that you have a higher chance. A lot of guys say, why should I change who I am? She should just be happy with who I am from the get-go. But I just think, why not go for it? Just be your best version of yourself and kind of put pride aside.
But then if you were to say, why not? I'd be like, oh, okay, well, because I don't want to. Like, what? Like, can you explain what it does? Like, for a woman, when three guys walk past her, one with horrible style, one who's like super stylish and maybe like too stylish, and another one that it doesn't look like he's trying too hard. Like, why is it important? Like, why does it make that difference for women in the way that your interactions go?
Well, for instance, for one, just know that when you are dressed, when you're dressed really, really well, a girl notices that you're trying your best in life. And then she kind of like thinks, hey, if he takes care of himself, I bet he would take care of me really nicely. Whereas if one of the guys is just wearing a sloppy sweatshirt with mustard on the front,
right.
chances are he probably, his idea of a good date is taking you to maybe McDonald's or who knows.
But you know you have the love of mustard in common.
Yeah, what if it's an aioli?
Right,
that's a different story.
But it's just, it's like that you're going to have to try even harder. Like if the full package is there, and it's not saying you have to be Mr. Abercrombie model, super good looking or super fit. It's saying like you're putting yourself together well. So tell us like, go on.
Can I say something real quick? I have a theory about what's a very poorly thought out theory. But men from the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, they looked awesome. It seemed like I could be living in a dream world, but it seemed like no matter what class you were, you know, what if you were middle class, upper class, poor, they all had almost like a standard of look that was so put together and so attractive that that's why people had families earlier. Because if I was a chick, I would do any of those dudes. I'm telling you. And that like grace is just, and that dignity has just gone out the door. And as a woman, I don't know if I speak for all of them, but I find that classic look so hot.
So do I. If a guy pulls it off,
so do I.
Well,
you mean like looking like Boardwalk Empire in 2015? Like,
yeah, but not to that extent.
A little bit,
not in like a costume. Uh-huh. But yeah, Mad Men. You know, maybe your hair. You know, coiffed a little bit.
I will say one thing. I don't like when a guy looks like too stylish. Yeah, like it took him 2 hours.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. But there's something to the side of it that looks just classic and classy that doesn't look like it takes forever. Like I'm looking at Goldie's your website, GoldieRush.com, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Those are the before and after.
Yeah, and the dudes, I mean, it's just they instantly go from dweeb to, and I don't usually say this word, but fuckable.
They totally
literally.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
It's crazy. Like you, like some people even look like homeless people. Like some of the people that she's worked with,
or just like personalityless, like dudes from like a really boring office to all of a sudden some guy with a lot going on, not only for himself but in his head, because it comes out through his clothes.
Yeah, for sure. So tell us like the basics, Goldie. Like, what do guys who are listening to the show, what do they need to do to improve their style? Like, what are the basics that they need to know?
Well, everyone just needs to take personal stock of like where they are and be honest with yourself. Like look in front of the mirror and be like, do I really, really look good? And chances are, if you're honest with yourself, there's definitely things you can improve upon. Fit is number one. Right now, it's all about kind of like the slim fit. It's been that way for a while now. And I still predict that it's going to stay that way for at least a couple more years. About like 10 years ago, people were wearing a little baggier fit. Whereas now it's all about that European slim fit. Still, once you get that right, you can pretty much flatter any figure flaws, because no matter what size you are, if your clothes fit you well, you're going to look good. So that's the first thing. It's all about fit. The second thing, it's
I'm going to interrupt you for a second.
Go ahead.
That all these guys are all my clients.
Oh, they are? Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
I love it. Not the women, but the men. Describe fit, because
I'm
that
a little
may be
thick, and I don't know that I can rock the Euro look.
Right.
Well,
so, yeah.
So you say you're a little bit thick, and are you saying you don't know if you can
like
rock
good
the
thick,
slim fit?
Yeah, that's what he's saying. He's like, what does that mean? Like, if for like a shirt that fits him or pants that fit him, like how do you make sure that you're doing that?
So some of you, and including maybe you, might be thinking, oh no, that just sounds tight.
Right.
That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
What I'm saying is I want your clothes to just fit on your body. Not too much extra room in the shirt. So like, say just take a normal button down shirt and pinch it on this side and just try to of your waist and try to see how much fabric is there. If you're pinching a lot of extra fabric, chances are that shirt's outdated.
Okay.
And it probably is adding poundage, adding look, like making you look heavier than you are. Whereas if you had a slim fit shirt, that's going to create the illusion of being long and lean. So a lot of times what I notice when guys have a little bit of extra in the middle, they think that hiding in a baggier shirt is the way to go to hide the pounds. But what is better is to wear a shirt that just kind of like skims the side of your waist, not too tight, of course.
Right.
And that will just create the illusion that you're long and lean. My claim to fame is I can make guys look 10 pounds thinner if that's what they want, or 10 pounds bigger if that's what they want, and 10 years younger. So it's all about the illusion. And you can really do that with just the cut of your clothing.
I will tell you one thing. So we did a boot camp together. Was it in New York? I forgot. And there were great people on that bootcamp. Anyway, we're with the guys the entire weekend, and Goldie came to meet us on the final day and took each of them to go do like an hour little shop. We were in like a shopping district and just like dress them up and show them how they could look and like things to improve. And she took them to like Zara, like places that are fairly inexpensive
to
look really good. And I remember the other wing girl who was with me on the bootcamp. After, you know, we worked on their personality and like approach styles and their confidence and their flirting techniques, and then coupled with the style, because they all bought whatever
different
Goldie
guys,
showed them.
Huh?
Like, I remember the wing girl that was working with me. She's like, is it weird that I want to like go out with them now? Like, I
don't want to blur every line that we.
Yeah, I would date these guys. Like, they're the full package now. And honestly, like, even for me, I was just like, you're a different person. Like, after Goldie would be with him for 1 hour, I'd be like, you are a different person. Like, you look like you are successful, well put together. Like, you have things going on. You're driven. Maybe an illusion for right now.
But
no matter what, that made me look at them. And I looked at them in a different way than I had before. I already loved them because they were on the boot camp with me, so I knew their personality. But then even more, it just enhanced everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, give us a few more tips on, because I think that's a great tip for shirts and for clothes. You want them to fit you. And is there somewhere that people can go, like, if they can't work with you, let's say they go to a clothing store.
It's overwhelming. I know for me, I think I have a decent sense of style.
You do.
But when I walk into a store, it's like, I don't know where to start because I have a specific look that I want, but I don't know how to actually pull it from these clothes and how to make it. Then I'll find something. It's the look that I want, but maybe not the fit. So it can be overwhelming. So where do you start?
Yeah.
Where do you start? Well, basically when I work with my clients, we first start off with a closet clean. If I'm working in person, and then I know what they have already. So where to start is kind of taking stock of what you already have and what you need. So say, I think every guy needs a pair of like perfect jeans.
Yeah.
Dark, slim to straight jeans is the style right now. Boot cut, no. Just throwing that out there. Yeah. But I think
Any cargo, anything.
Right on. Yeah, definitely just like a nice, classic, slim, dark pair of jeans. Everyone.
So no Dockers.
No Dockers.
Never.
Dockers, please.
Chinos
are cool, which are basically just like khaki pants, but in different colors. But again, it's all about the fit, the slim to straight. But so you just have to kind of figure out what is it that your wardrobe is missing, whether it's a blazer or a white slim fit button down or that perfect dark pair of jeans or a black boots.
So these are staples that you're listing. Uh-huh. Every person should.
These are all little freebie staples that I think honestly every guy needs. And
I'm going to interrupt you for one second. You know what? I learned this from my sister when she lived in England. She had told me, I think it's the same thing in New York. Like people save up to buy like one pair of boots and they wear them every single day. Like they have like staple items that are really nice, fit them really well. And they just keep repeating them over and over again.
It's like buying a really good olive oil to keep in your pantry.
Yeah.
Yes. For sure. Yes, okay. Absolutely. I would much rather focus on quality over quantity. And it just reminds me, I may have mentioned this before, but when I went to Italy, I was really impressed with the way the men were dressed. But I did also notice that they were kind of wearing the same guys that I would see over and over because I was there for a few weeks, kind of was rocking the same sport coat every day and the same sweater, but they were kind of mixing and matching different scarves and different ties to create a new look, but their staple pieces were all the same, but of the highest quality. And so I asked someone, I said, what are they doing? Like, what is this about? Do they not care that they're wearing the same thing every day? And they said, no, they, Italians kind of just invest in one new like designer item every year, every season. And then they just build their wardrobe that way. Cool. And if you buy well, this piece should last you a few years. So,
I agree.
Quality. And I like shopping for classic items with my clients. I really try to stay away from
items.
Pardon?
They don't have to be expensive items.
No, not at all. You really don't need $1 million to look like $1 million. You just need to have
need $27.
you need at least $20. But it's really about buying classic items and not investing in too many trendy items. But I'll just list those classic items again, just like a slim white fit button down, a nice leather jacket, works well for most men, slim, dark, no faded blue jeans, also in black as well.
Black is okay.
As a reminder,
great.
For jeans, though, like even if you're not Steven Seagal, you can wear black jeans.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's good. Mm-hmm.
But as a reminder for guys, because I know where I'm from, there's a lot of access to older styles. So, like, we have this place called Forever Leather in our town, which is hilarious. It's like 90s styled leather jackets. Go look online at current stores and then shop from there. Don't think, a leather jacket, and then go get something that looks like it's from 1991.
Right. Yeah, with an 8-ball on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there a magazine that you can recommend for guys to look through? Or are there certain stores?
Oh, absolutely. GQ.
Okay.
GQ, Esquire. those two should set it straight. And I highly recommend that every guy listening right now get a subscription to GQ and just become familiar, flip through the pages and become familiar with what's in right now. Because honestly, style is so, so important. You really want to get your image right. And I know that may sound superficial to you, but trust me, once you get on the style train, you're not going to want to get off.
Yeah.
It's really, really fun.
It's like meth, honestly. Yeah. It's like, oh, it looks, you know, that seems like really horrible to do. And then you do it, you're like, this is great.
Yeah.
Now that it's been really, really great. I have had no complaints in the past 8 years that I've been working with these guys. Yeah. And they're all super thrilled. And I get emails from my clients just thanking me because now they have women approaching them.
Yeah.
In the streets. And trust me, it's really, really important. And the best thing about it is it's a quick fix. It can all be figured out in like literally a day.
Right.
Wow. Look at this guy on our website that has like, you can see he has like a belly, honestly looks like a homeless person. And then the opposite picture of him afterwards is like a totally different person, like super sexy. Like I would want to talk to him.
Yeah. And honestly, there's like no shame. Like some of my clients are like, they're ashamed. They're like, oh God, I just really don't know how to dress myself. And you know what I say to them? I'm like, I don't know how to do my own taxes.
Right, exactly. You
know, like we all have our own.
Right. Exactly.
Our own strengths. And that's why we have professionals in our field, you know,
right.
Because that's why we need you, Marnie, like to help us with like our game and stuff. And that's why make sure you're set. So no judgments at all.
Perfect.
Just here to help.
Well, tell people how they can get in contact with you. And are you going to give them something special if they say they heard about you through the Ask Women podcast?
Well, of course, an FYI, Marnie is the best and I've been enjoying working with her for the longest time. And so definitely if you email me at goldie@goldierush.com, you'll get, of course, extra special treatment. And so just go ahead and email me again, Goldie, G-O-L-D-I-E, at goldierush.com. And check out my website at goldierush.com. And you can see all the transformations. And I think the proof is in the pictures. And just know that, like, you too can have that, that huge of a transformation. I just truly believe everyone is entitled to look their best. You don't need to be George Clooney, but to look your best. But it's all possible. So
perfect.
Yeah, it's more accessible than you think.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, again, you don't need to be a millionaire to look amazing. It's you really don't.
I 100% agree with you. Before we let Goldie go, I want to do one question for Overanalyze This. Are you guys ready?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if women want sex as much as men or more than men, why do they deprive themselves by making it so difficult for the men who want to give it to them? Robert.
Say that one more time.
So because we've talked about it before, and actually lots of websites talk about like that women actually do want sex. They're very sexual creatures. Mm-hmm. They, you know, fantasize. They watch
We're
porn.
Human.
We're human beings. Sure. We have desires. We all of this stuff.
Speak for yourselves.
So so he's asking, if women want sex so much, why do we make it so difficult?
Because the setting has to be right.
Yes, absolutely. And the person has to be right.
And by setting, I don't mean just the room. I mean the whole situation has to be right.
I don't just want like a penis inside of you.
Right.
Right. I know. I want the full picture. Exactly what we were just saying about style. Like that is a full package.
Right.
I want somebody who looks good, who can tell, takes care of himself, but who also has like a great personality, right. Can make me laugh, really values himself. You want that full package in your sexual partner as well. Whether it's like you want the one night stands, so you want it to be exciting and like good looking and dirty or whatever it is, you want that full package there. That's I wouldn't say that women make it more difficult. I think we're more selective on who we allow inside us. And
here she goes again.
I know.
It's like Carl knows your husband.
Keep it real.
Exactly.
And he's like turning red.
But it's something to share. And that's maybe a way to look at it from both angles is if it's really good, it's something you share. So it shouldn't be commoditized maybe, and the withholding and the pursuing too aggressively. If you have a sex positive physical back and forth, then
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm saying the word positive to... associated with anything that I'm doing in sex.
But I will say
sex positive is the creepiest thing I ever said.
It is. To go back to the beginning of our show with differences between men and women, the difference for women, and I think a lot of men forget this, is that I just heard a quote recently, 1 in 3 women are physically or sexually abused. That's like a statistic, like around the world. Like that's what's happened. And that's who we are. No, okay, there is female empowerment. No matter what, there are men out there who attack us, who rape, but all of these things. So we have to be more selective with who we allow to be with us.
What I want to say to dudes is like,
get pregnant too.
Picture just, if you're a woman, if just try to be in a woman's shoes for a second and picture having...
Goldie will help you with that.
Picture, picture having a hole in your body that someone's like shoving, that someone's shoving shit
having
into.
A drink now.
Like it's a very intense thing for a woman. When you, I'm not going to go, Well, you know, if I,
I just want to hear Kristen say this.
It's different. Me having like a hand and, you know, putting the hand, I'm not like, having a feeling the way the keyhole would be having the feeling.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of theories.
I just want men to understand that it's much more abrasive.
It's abrasive. It's intrusive.
For women. Yeah. Than it is for men.
Yeah. And there's.
Yeah. Or even being on the receiving end of a kiss, like that whole like guy pushing his face at you.
Yeah.
You know, you might want to be a couple of green lights before you. You know, and just be, you know, think
for
about being on the receiving end. Yeah.
So, Robert, hopefully that answers your question as to why, you know, we appear to make it more difficult. The truth is we have to be more careful.
It's like
we
you select who you let into your home just the way a woman would select who you're going to let into your van.
Yeah.
It's like the same.
I love it. And that is a perfect note to end on. But if you want to ask questions for Overanalyze This, write them to ask@askwomenpodcast.com. We want to thank Goldie for being on our show. And you can find out more about her at goldierush.com. That's GoldieRush.com. And we want to thank Carl
DeGregorio.
Your last name, I'm horrible. Because I'm Jewish. Is that what? I don't know. DeGregorio.
DeGregorio.
Okay, so I did it.
DeGregorio.
Yes, CarlDoesIt.com. I make it easier by not having to make you type the name. So CarlDoesIt.com. And you can check out the Drama King on Amazon if you're
perfect.
A reader.
You can use our link. Go to WingGirlMethod.com/Amazon to purchase that book.
Yeah.
But you can check out new episodes of the Ask Women podcast. They get released every Thursday. But I highly suggest that you subscribe to our podcast so that you don't have to do that work every single week. But we want to thank everybody who listens to our show, everybody that's been going on to iTunes and giving us 5 stars, everybody that's voted for us for the podcast awards. We don't know what's happening with that yet. But thank you so much for listening. You're the reason that we keep doing this. But yeah, you're wonderful. Again, if you want to write in questions, write to ask@askwomenpodcast.com and hopefully we'll answer your question. And we will see you guys next week.